Envy is the religion of the mediocre. It comforts them, it soothes their worries, and finally it rots their souls. Blessed be the one at whom the fools bark, because his soul will never belong to them. Hey everybody, how you doing? What's up? I hope you're well. Today I wanted to talk about something that I feel is really important, and it's also extremely relevant to our times, and we have to talk about the nature of envy. And I know you're thinking, hey Dave, you're preaching at me here. I heard about this stuff in Sunday school, you know, don't envy your neighbor and all this kind of stuff. But I want to talk about it in a way that's going to actually be a little bit more relevant for you, to hopefully clarify for you why this mode of being, walking around envious of others or worrying about the envy of others directed towards yourself, can actually be disastrous for your personal development, for your health, for your success, and even for the health, development, and success of the other people involved. So we're just going to talk about this. I hope it will give you some thoughts and some insights and some ideas and some inspiration so that you can hopefully achieve whatever it is you're wanting to achieve in this life. So I posted a picture on my Facebook page and also on my Instagram. I kind of put this together, a really good picture, I think, of a guy. He's like an Assassin's Creed dude with a sword over his shoulder. There's like a battlefield around him. It's like he's walking off the battlefield victorious. I love that picture. And so I superimposed the quote on top of it. And the quote comes from Carlos Ruiz Zafón. And he says about envy, just take it for what it's worth. He says, envy is the religion of the mediocre. It comforts them. It soothes their worries, and finally it rots their souls. Blessed be the one at whom the fools bark, because his soul will never belong to them. And I found that to be very powerful. I got a lot of positive feedback from that. A lot of you were like, you know, thank you, I needed to read that today. That just really strikes home to me. So it motivated me to do a short little video for you. Well, we'll see how short it is. I usually tend to go on and on, but I'll try to make it as concise as possible. I like this quote for many reasons. It highlights the psychology and the motivation behind the envious types. And it also is trying to give you courage on the battlefield of that is this earth, and that is sometimes this thing about relating to other human beings. We all have to relate to other human beings, whether you're at work, social circles, family, in whatever capacity, you're dealing with other people. And every human being has their own victories, defeats, struggles, personal trials. And as much as you want to feel pity and empathy and compassion for people, which is great and you should, I think we often conflate that with enabling people. All right, there's a difference between feeling empathy and compassion for somebody that is going through a struggle and they're trying to take it out on you, or they, for whatever reason, they've lost their sense of value. They've lost their sense of value for themselves. So therefore, they've lost their sense of value for you. And actually, all they really perceive anything as is acquisition of material goods, or this feeling of being accepted and loved socially and to be praised. And these types of people that are internally in chaos, they tend to become very extroverted and externalized in their mode of being. They live in a very inauthentic mode. And in that sense, they easily gravitate towards this feeling of envy. And why it's destructive is that it's taking the focus off you. It's taking the focus off you, you know, what you really need in this life to feel fulfilled and to feel happy, and to feel like you're doing something with yourself. I mean, if you're constantly obsessed with the opinions of other people, if you're constantly measuring yourself up against other people and to a point where it's unhealthy, then you're going to find that you're not feeling fulfilled, you're not feeling happy, that success in whatever area you're trying to pursue it is constantly running away from you instead of coming to you easily, all right? And when I finally had this particular concept twig in my brain, it changed my life drastically. It changed my life top to bottom. And I really started to understand how important it is to understand this, okay? Now, of course, we've heard envy before, right? We've heard it is one of the seven deadly sins. And if you think about that term sin, all right? Now, I was raised fundamentalist Christian. So I rejected that almost on its face and went on my own journey and started doing comparative religion and mythology research and started to try to, I wanted to try to get other points of view because the point of view I was given was very much a fear and guilt perspective of understanding these principles, all right? Because you know in the religion, the institutionalized version of religion is very good at doing that. You know, it's very good at saying, well, any of these sins are going to automatically give you a pass to some eternal fiery damnation in some other dimensional pit of fire and brimstone called hell if you don't avoid these sins. I feel like that's a bit extreme, okay? I love the quote from Joseph Campbell where he's talking about how all the hells, all the angels, devils, and gods are all contained within you, within your psychology, within your being. We're all little microcosms of the universe. So I prefer to look at these moral lessons that you'll find in all religions. I mean, all religions have their discussions about, you know, what modes of being will help you and will keep you healthy and will keep you on the path of the good. All right, you can look at it as the path of the good, which is the good is the path of life, the path of bringing good things into your life. You know, you can. I think that word God is just, you know, you add an extra O in there and you've got the good. We just needed an archetypal image so that we could connect to that in a rational way, or I guess an irrational way in some ways, but just to give us an ability to imagine this concept, we tend as human beings, it's happened since the dawn of civilization, we tend to anthropomorphize these different characteristics into deities and figures, and we make little figurines, and we write books, and we have these concepts in our minds about a god and a devil and a good and an evil. Some religions are polytheistic, some are henotheistic, some are monotheistic. But really, when you boil it all down, you can really look at this in a much more esoteric way. You can look at this in a metaphorical way, if it helps you. If you're the kind of person that likes to look at it literally, then have at it. But I feel like that kind of distracts you and it takes you out of your own personal experience and it disempowers you more than it empowers you. Whereas when you look at it metaphorically and you look at the concept of sin as and hell, for example, as not this place that's going to happen after you die, but look at all these concepts in relation to what's happening right now while you're alive. I mean, hey, wouldn't that be cool? So I think that would be a little bit easier to take than I think people would finally understand the better parts of these religious teachings, which are universal, okay? So, you know, they talk about envy. If you look at, you just kind of look at a basic definition of it, envy is a feeling of discontented or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, qualities, or luck, okay? Very simple. I would separate envy from jealousy in the sense that I would say that jealousy is just a natural thing, like, you know, somebody bought a brand new house. And maybe right now you're in search of a new house and they bought a brand new house and they got the perfect house that they've always been looking for. Or they got a house that was very similar to the house you wanted to get. So you're kind of jealous. You're like, oh man, I'm jealous. Good for you. You found that house. I would have loved to have a house like that. But jealousy stops right there. It's not something where now I don't want you to have that house. I'm not happy for you. See, jealousy, I think, is natural. We all have it. I mean, in a way, it kind of incentivizes you. You know what? Like I really busted his butt. He got up a little earlier, worked a little longer, put some money away for savings. So practice delayed gratification. I better work on that if I want to reach that level of being able to get the house that I want, just like that person did. So jealousy can actually motivate you in a positive way. But what the difference with envy is that you have that same experience, but now you don't want that person to have what they have. And that's the difference. That's the difference. I mean, it's all fine and good to admire people, to look up to people, to respect people for their accomplishments, for their qualities, for material possessions or whatever it is. But once you cross the line and you say inside your mind, you start feeling a level of resentment towards the person where you want to like take them down because they have it. You want to make sure you rob them of what they have because you can't bear the thought of them having something that you don't have. Now we're getting into some very deep psychological waters here. And that's why I think this is important to understand. So for envy, there's even like artists that have done, there's Theodore Gericault who did a portrait of the demented woman or the monomaniac of jealousy. You can see that right on the Wikipedia page of envy. It's a very famous artistic piece. And it's just the look on her face. I can't screen share right now, but the look on her face is just, oh, hold on a second. Let's do this. look on her face is just brilliant, eh? Like, just, oh my God, I want what you have and I don't want you to have it. And so just it encapsulates this idea. And when you're thinking back to what's being said in this quote and why I wanted to share it with you, it's that he's mentioning something that a lot of people don't want to address. And it's actually controversial to talk about. You're not going to get a lot of love talking about it unless you're dealing with people that are very much looking for the truth in their lives. And they're not wanting to live some bullshit, inauthentic experience. They're interested in authenticity. They're interested in true fulfillment, happiness, and true success. Then they're gonna. This is the kind of message that is gonna speak to them. Children experience envy and jealousy on a regular basis. I mean, I see my daughters growing up. I got young girls, and they're constantly envious of each other's possessions. And I mean envious. I mean, like, I want, like, what my younger daughter's playing with a doll. My older daughter hadn't played with that doll in like years. And she was doing something else, but the moment she saw my younger daughter playing with the doll, she looks at that doll and wants it now. And she wants to take it away from my younger daughter, right? And I constantly have to get in there and start having some conversations and trying to be, you know, a good referee and help teach them the value of allowing your sister to be happy with that toy, and that you can understand there's many toys for you to play with, and you know you haven't played with this toy in a long time, and so let's work on sharing. And this is where you're trying to teach them those valuable lessons of life that will help them succeed, because if you don't teach them these things, they're not going to have success in their interpersonal relationships. So it starts when they're young. And I feel like a lot of kids that have grown up these days clearly are haven't been shown these principles. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that during the, I mean, there's been a huge revolution in terms of religious ideology in Western cultures. And this started back with the 60s and 70s, you know, with the whole hippie movement and, you know, just let's move away from religion. Look at all the destructive things. Look, it's too puritanian. It's too restrictive. It's too authoritative, right? And so people rebelled against that because for rightful reasons, I think it was an extreme. And what happens is when you react to an extreme, you often float to the other extreme, which is, well, there's no rules, there's no morality, there's no virtue. We don't need any religion at all. We're just going to go with the religion of hedonism, of materialism, of just take what you want when you want it. Let's get rid of morality. It's all shades of gray. There's no such thing as right and wrong. There's no such thing as good and evil. Let's just build a, you know, a new socialist society where everything is just given freely. You don't have to work for anything anymore. Everything's easy. Do you see the mindset behind a lot of this? It's an infantile mindset. It's the mindset of children, except it's being displayed in full-grown adults, and that's a frightening thing. And I think it's because these lessons weren't taught properly, and these children were not raised to value these things and to understand the value of these concepts, right? So when you divorce yourself completely from systems of morality, then you get the extreme, which is a society that has no morality. And that produces worse effects, I think, than what maybe people were trying to move away from. So while I'm a critic of religion, I'm a critic of institutionalized religion. If you were to say, Dave, what religion are you? I'd be like, well, it's the religion of truth, right? It's the religion of freedom. That's my religion. But you know, I do respect many of the world religions because I know where they came from. They came from even greater archives of wisdom and knowledge that come from our ancestral world. And these ideas eventually became boiled into these little cookie cutter, almost like Reader's Digest versions of the original. And then everybody, all these different places started, these countries and religions started fighting each other over which religion was superior. And those religious institutions were used as a hammer and sickle against the masses to keep people in control, to keep people in fear, to keep people in guilt complexes. And maybe in the original idea, it wasn't the intention, but it definitely became that way. All right. And I think there's definitely some evidence to show that it was by intention on behalf of the political ruling classes and the elites of the world at that time, because they knew that if they were going to maintain their power differential over the masses, they needed a system of thought that would keep people, you know, and they might say, oh, it's to keep them moral, it's to keep them on the straight and narrow, it's for their own best interest. But it became so authoritative that it became tyrannical, and it degraded the movement of consciousness, it degraded the the uplifting of the human soul, and it actually ended up being one of the adversaries, I think, to the growth of consciousness. So, but that doesn't mean we throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because of the fact that these teachings are so universal and these concepts are, you can use your intellect and your reason as well as your intuition to analyze these concepts. Concepts like envy, concepts like greed, and you know, obviously these things that drive us to the worst side of the human being, right? That's what sins are in religion. That's what they're talking about. They're talking about these are things that have consequences. Now, they're going to tell you in the religious circles, well, they have consequences in the afterlife. Forget about the afterlife. You have no idea what's going to happen in the afterlife. Stop obsessing about the afterlife. Why don't we start obsessing a little bit more about this life? This is the life you have to live. Even if you do believe in a higher power or an afterlife, you can't discount the fact that there's a reason you have this life to live. So it's very important that you equip yourself with tools. And that's what I think of these different philosophies and these different ideas. They're just tools. They're tools to help you navigate reality. They're tools to give you advice from the wise sages of old to say, if you want this, this is the requirement. So if you want personal freedom, if you want success in your life, if you want fulfillment and happiness and joy and abundance and all of these things that always sound good when you hear them, if you want those things, you can have them. You can have anything you want, except you can't have it just given to you. It's not given to you. It's a goal that's put in front of you to strengthen you. And so if you want those things I just mentioned, there are some prerequisites. There are some requirements that must be met in order for you to be able to experience that sort of life. It doesn't just happen. And I think a lot of people just wish it was like Mickey Mouse, you know, we just snap our fingers and boom, here we go. So, you know, when we think of it in that context now, you know, I hope I've taken away that feeling of, oh, we're not talking about some like super religious discussion here. We're talking about a spiritual discussion, and we're talking about the characteristics that enrich your life. These are like ingredients in a recipe. If you want to have good, I don't know, spaghetti, there's certain ingredients that you put together to make good spaghetti and certain ingredients that you definitely don't add if you want to have good spaghetti. You know what I'm saying? So envy is the religion of the mediocre. The mediocre being the people who are in arrested development. They have no ambition in life. They feel completely like they're owed something by the world. The world owes them, or other people owe them. They're constantly in that feeling of everybody owes me. They're in a woe is me mindset. And that woe is me negative mindset is what's holding them back in life. It's not what they think it is. It's not the people. It's not the world. It's not the political system. It's not the financial system. It's not a roundtable group of elite bankers with some global conspiracy that's holding them back. And not to say those things aren't there, but it just means that, you know, that's not what's holding you back. What's holding you back is your own mind, your own limiting belief systems, your own self-doubt, your own lack of understanding of these principles, the way you relate to other people, the way you give everything away to everybody else and leaving nothing for yourself, the way you don't take care of your body and your mind and your spirit, and then all you do is give all of the time because you feel like that's what morality is, when in fact that's not what morality is. Morality is being in a state of health so that is a place from which you serve, in which you do your work in this world, in which you inspire people, and which you give back. But if you don't do that process, as I've said so many times on the show, then you end up being one of the mediocre, being envious, being greedy, being having no moral compass, lacking value. And then it's easier for you in that mindset of just feeling like everybody owes you something to become a thief. And you can be a thief of property physically, or you can be a thief of somebody's energy, or a thief of somebody's ideas, or just by having that envious eye on somebody else, you're stealing from them. And actually not even stealing from them if they don't allow you to. There's always a contract between people, right? You're stealing from yourself by being so obsessed with other people and what they're doing and what they have and what you don't have. And you can go down that downward spiral really quickly. I know, I'm a human being. We all are susceptible to these things. I've definitely had periods of time in my life where I felt envy. I've felt these different things. And, you know, it's a battle. And that's why I depicted it with a warrior to say, hey, win the battle. And then all the treasures of this world, all the treasures of the universe are yours, you know? So don't become one of the mediocre. The mediocre are those who are led. They don't think critically. They don't think for themselves. They don't stand up on their own. They're not creating for themselves. They're just taking. People that are takers, they're thieves, okay? Whether it's, like I said, physically or psychically. And the idea of envy is comforting to people like that because it justifies their position and it enables them to continue to be the way they are. And it continues this spiral like we're talking about that ends up in ruin. It destroys you. And that's what it says. It soothes their worries, but finally it rots their souls. It turns them into bad people, bad apples who start to do bad things. So this is a gateway drug of gateway drugs, envy. And I think it's one of the most important of these seven deadly sins to talk about because I believe that it's from where a lot of these other things come from. Like, you're not going to be greedy unless you're first envious, right? Because envy and greed are like twins, that one spurs the other. So if you're fulfilled within and you don't have envy and you don't constantly compare yourself to the standards of other people and you compare yourself to your own standard and you work on yourself because, you know, let's face it, you got enough to worry about there, then your worries are soothed by your own actions. This is why I bring in the whole concept of self-esteem and proper psychological development, putting on your spiritual armor, warrioring up, studying from the great martial artists and thinkers on these issues, becoming strong, developing fortitude, developing virtue, morality. These are not easy to acquire, but they're tools that will serve you in life, which is why it's worth going through all the struggle to do it. And even if nobody else around you is on that journey and you're the only one, you're the outsider, but it's a good thing because hopefully by your own actions working on yourself, you will inspire other people around you. And that's what I've found in my own life. It was other people that were living like this that inspired me to live like this. And now I've seen many times that I've been able to positively influence young people and older people. And it's been an amazing journey and I'm very grateful to be on it. But, you know, don't let this stuff rot your soul. You know, you got to ask yourself, what is it in us that wants these things that other people have, whether it be their looks, whether it be their confidence, whether it be the material possessions they have, the house, the car, whatever, the wife. What is it about us that can't allow another to have those things? And like I said, it's okay to go, oh, wow, I wish I had that. But then, yeah, you should follow it up with, again, good for them. Good for them for having it. Good for them for acquiring it and achieving it. But if it goes to that point of saying, I want what that person has and I don't want them to have it, I want to take it from them, that's thievery, that's stealing, and that's wrong. It's wrong, not because you're going to go to hell when you die. It's wrong because you're going to live a hellish life while you're alive. And you're going to affect your own development, yourself, and you're going to affect the lives of other people around you. Okay? And I actively shun these kinds of people, and it's for the reason of needing to preserve my center and preserve my own sanity. Okay. I don't want these vampires in my life. I want to inspire people. That's why I do videos. That's why I teach martial arts. That's why I talk to people about health and wellness and all these things, because I'm hoping to inspire that in people, but I can't force people to walk this journey, right? You have to take it up on your own. So I love how he's saying, or this quote is saying, blessed be the one at whom the fools bark, because the fools are the loudest ones. The foolish, the people who are the least informed, that care the least truly about truth or about freedom or about fulfillment or happiness. They might say they do, but it's not authentic. They are the loudest voices in the world. Unfortunately, it seems like, you know, it's the fools that are the loudest and the wise ones are the silent ones, you know, and that's sad. But hey, it's the world we live in. It's always been like that. So blessed be the one at whom the fools bark, because his soul will never belong to them. They can want your possessions. They can want the things they have. They can want the energy you have. But if you don't sign that contract and you say, hey, here and no further, you shall not pass. You're on your own journey, my friend. Go your way. Go your way. Go make something of yourself. How do you think I got here? I didn't get here by just waking up like this. I worked for it and I felt the rewards of the work that went into it. So go and do it on your own. I don't need your monkey in my life. I don't need your problems in my life. I've got my own problems. You've got your own problems. And those problems are your gift. They're your gift. They're your challenge. They're your hurdle that you have to overcome. And if you deny that and you try to get someone else to take those hurdles away from you, or you try to hide from them and run from them, mask them, then you are killing yourself slowly. And those are the kind, this is why we see the rates of depression, suicide, anxiety, schizophrenia, all this stuff happening is because it literally, this kind of stuff can shatter the psyche. And then there's been much work we've gone into. I recommend going to check out the latest episode of the Unslaved podcast. Michael recorded it on his own. It was Sage and Psychopath 2. He gets into very deep detail about some of these things. I just wanted to kind of highlight a few of this for you. But your soul belongs to you and no one else. All right. And you could say it's shared by you and the universe or God or whatever. And so it's sacred. Create a sacred space in your life and don't practice envy. When your mind goes that way, realize that that's a sign that there's a weak point in you that needs to be strengthened, that there's something inside you that needs to be addressed. It's kind of like if you start coughing and sneezing, frequently, oh man, I probably caught a cold. My immune system, my guard was down. I must have caught something. So now I have to take action to heal myself. All right. So this is a symptom. Envy is a symptom of a deeper problem. Okay. Just like anger and all that other stuff. It's a symptom. It's not something in and of itself. There's something deeper there. And if you go down the path of entertaining envy, you will become mediocre. You will fail more than you'll succeed. And it'll build more and more resentment in you. And that resentment leads to self-destruction. It feels good. It's like I said, it soothes worries. It feels good. It comforts people. But it's wrong. It's a lie. It's an illusion. It's temporary. It's a blanket. It's a mask. It's a band-aid. And deep down, it's actually rotting you out and turning you into something you otherwise wouldn't be. And so if you have fools barking at you, if you have envious people knocking on your door, if you have people in your life that are toxic and vampiristic, recognize that you're probably on the right path. You're probably walking on the right path. And you don't have to be mean or whatever to these people, but just ask yourself, there's only so much time in the day, one life to live. How much, if these people are not willing to take up their own sword and deal with their own stuff and bear their own cross of whatever it is they're dealing with, then why would you allow them to give it to you? By allowing them to give it to you, you're taking it away from them. And you might feel like, oh, I want to help people. Yeah, but that's not helping them. You're enabling them to continue on that path. And that's the difference. And so this is something that I think sometimes I find it's hard to try to articulate this, but this is something we see everywhere. It's something that I think is even very deeply involved with the current situation politically, as I was mentioning. I won't break it all down here, but just think about this concept in your own life and then see how this can become a religion in itself. Envy can become a religion. It is a religion. It's the religion of the mediocre, the people that don't want to work, the people that don't want to achieve anything, the people that don't want to be virtuous, the people that don't mind stealing, that don't mind cheating. If you're stealing and cheating from others in any way or shape or form, realize you're actually stealing and cheating from yourself as well as them. So it's, and two wrongs don't make a right. So you're robbing yourself and you're robbing others. So how is that a way? How's that a path towards victory? How's that a path towards success? How's that a path towards fulfillment in life? It's not. It's the opposite. But again, it feels good at the time. It feels, oh, this is how I feel. But you can't succumb to your feelings so often. You have to use the blade sometimes to cut through the bullshit of your feelings, which is your mind. And you have to realize that, if you're surrounding yourself with people that are just envious of you, they're going to say all the things you want to hear in order to get whatever it is they want. And I don't want to turn you into someone who's paranoid and thinks everybody's out to get something from you. But I just want to create some awareness, hopefully, and inspire you to think about this in a way where at least you can't control other people, but at least you can work on yourself and notice it in yourself. And when you notice it in yourself, this is part of the whole integrating of the shadow and all that. You're just noticing, oh man, hey, why am I having that feeling? Why do I see that person? And there's something about their energy that I want, and I don't want them to have it because if they have it and I don't, I feel like I'm less than them. So if I can bring them down to my level, hello, let's bring everybody down to equality. Then I'll feel better about myself. And you go, well, hold on a minute. Instead of bringing everybody down to achieve equality, why don't we try to bring everybody up? It's interesting how bipolar we can be about these things. And like I said, I'm just commenting on this just from my own observations of my own mind, my own experiences in this regard. And I've also experienced this to a greater degree now that I'm more public and I'm doing more work. you can tell. I can tell by the comments. I can tell by the interactions I have with people who's genuinely interested in the stuff that I produce and the work that I do, or outside of this work, let's say, in my other business or my relationships. I can tell who's genuine, and I can tell who is, more concerned with the fact that they feel like they haven't achieved much in their life. So therefore they need to become a bully or something and try to attack me and chop me down for just the most ridiculous reasons. But I know that it's deeper. I know that it's psychological, and it frees you from worrying about what other people think. It frees you from it. Let the fools bark at you. Let the mediocre bark at you. If you're on your path to success, be strong and enjoy the path of being strong, and be grateful for those people that are shouting you down and hurling insults at you and trying to tell you not to do it or talk you out of it because they don't want to admit that they are, lazy or incompetent or whatever, and they don't want you to be competent and motivated in your life, so they want to bring you down to their level, right? Just be grateful to those people because they're the adversaries that you need to strengthen you even more. Don't go and start fights with these people. It's hopeless. It's hopeless. Don't argue with fools. They'll drag you down to their own level and beat you with experience, right? As Mark Twain said. So, I just want you to stay true. I want you to, feel like you have a mission here, you have purpose, and this will bring you meaning. So, hope that helps, guys. Cheers.